بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني في قولي، اللهم فعل بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. عيبون، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Hope everyone's doing well, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah grant us His mercy and forgiveness in this month of Ramadan. We're going to continue, inshallah ta'ala, from the section of Surah Uhud. We make dua to Allah that in this time, in this month of Ramadan, we are using our time in the most beneficial way of understanding the Quran and its messages. And I hope, inshallah ta'ala, that Allah that put this on our mizan of good deeds on the Day of Judgment, and that we can become from those who contemplated and thought about the Quran and its messages, inshallah ta'ala. So we went over the last part about the Ark of Nuh alayhi salam, which traveled over the flood, which is the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we linked that to the fact that they were engaged in zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we noted that in any place where a prophet was in difficulty or hardship, they engaged in the remembrance of Allah, like Yunus alayhi salam. And through the remembrance of Allah, they were immediately given safety and salvation. And this was an indication for us as people living very materialistic and very dunyawi world in our time, that the only way to survive in our time is also being in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Okay, so this idea of him being on the ark, he was told to bring every pair of male and female animals, as many animals of course that he could, and those that they required, and that his family was also told to be put onto the ark, but his son was not on the ark. He refused to come on. And we went through that discussion. Maybe many of us saw the similarities between us and our own families, that perhaps we also had the same experiences and encounters with our own children, that we tried to invite them towards Islam or Deen, and they're just completely distant from us. Allah Ta'ala highlighted that throughout the entire discussion. I hope that was made clear about how far away was the son of Nuh alayhi salam from him. Okay, so his son ultimately drowned with the rest, and that's where we left it off on. There's one extra portion that we need to go over, inshallah, which is the next section here. So we're going to try to do this, inshallah. I'm feeling a little sick today, so make dua for me. So I'm going to make it a little shorter than we normally do. But inshallah, that I hope we can cover the main points about this beautiful section as well. وَنَادَ نُوحُ رَبَّهُ فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنَّ بَنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي مِنَّ وَعَدَكَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْتَ أَحْكُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. This part comes immediately after when Nuh alayhi salam's boat had docked onto the Mount Judi. Okay, immediately, as soon as he docks, it says, وَنَادَ نُوحُ رَبَّهُ. As soon as it docked and everything was settled and the water had subsided, immediately Nuh alayhi salam starts to make this call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't wait, because obviously there's a bit of discomfort and unease in the heart. And it's because of why? Nuh alayhi salam called onto his Lord. And so he said, رَبِّ إِنَّ بَنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي. He said, my Lord, my son is a part of my family. وَإِنَّ وَعَدَكَ الْحَقِّ, and your promise is true. وَأَنْتَ أَحْكُمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ, and you're the wisest of all judges. Nuh alayhi salam makes this passionate call, this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He called out, nada, right? He's calling out as loud as he can to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about begging for his son, okay? So I want to make this clear about certain things. Nuh alayhi salam is asking as beautifully as he could. You know, as beautifully, again, you're probably going to know this. This is a theme throughout the du'as of the Prophet ﷺ. They choose the best words. They try to be as mu'addabana, as respectful as they can. And they're asking Allah Ta'ala in the way that Allah Ta'ala likes to be asked. Okay? When you ask a human being and you remind them, hey, you told me this, you told me this, you told me this, human beings absolutely get frustrated and they'll get angry with you and they'll never give you anything. When it comes to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, on the other hand, Allah Ta'ala likes that you remind him. Allah Ta'ala, or rather, not remind him, but you tell him. Because of course Allah knows. You go and tell him, Allah, you are the most wise. You are the most knowledgeable. You are the most kareem. You are the Rahman. You are the Rahim. Allah likes that you tell him his sifat. And he's like, Allah, you promised me this. Allah, come on. You know, this type of thing to in front of Allah Ta'ala, he loves it so much. Because he knows he can provide and he knows he can give. So Nuh alayhi salam, I want you to think about the way he's asking. He says, my Lord, my son is also part of my family. And your promise is true, Allah. You said your promise is true, that you'll save me and my family. Okay, you'll save me and my family, and you're the wisest of all judges. And he goes and says, Allah Ta'ala, you have the best decision, so whatever you decide is the best. Okay, so he goes and says this, and I want to make it clear. Nuh alayhi salam, he understood something. What did he understand? He understood that Allah Ta'ala told him that put everyone on the boat, those who, the animals, your family, and those who believe. Okay? So Nuh alayhi salam understood that my family who believes can be permitted to get onto the boat. As for my family which did not believe, they're not permitted to go onto the boat. Okay? Nuh alayhi salam understood this very well. So what did he do? He brought on to the people that had Iman, that had Islam, right? But the thing was, Nuh alayhi salam understood, and he did what Allah told him. Allah said not to bring his son on, right? Nuh alayhi salam still tried as a prophet to maybe, if he gets guidance, then he could put him on, right? But, you know, it didn't happen. So Nuh alayhi salam did what Allah told him to do. He said, don't bring your son on. He didn't bring his son on. Clear. But maybe Nuh alayhi salam thought something else. He said, Allah, you promised me that me and my Ahlul Bayt, my family will be saved on the Day of Judgment. Okay? So he said, Allah, if he had to be doomed to the punishment in this world, perhaps he'll be saved in the hereafter. If he was doomed to the water, maybe he'll be saved from the fire. Okay? So Nuh alayhi salam's thinking is very deep. He said, Allah, he's my biological son. And you did tell me and you did promise me that me and my family will be safe. Okay? So he's my biological son. Perhaps Allah, you'll save him in the hereafter. So he wasn't doing anything wrong. I want you to think about it like this. Like, for example, we'll raise our hand and say, Allah, I know my son wasn't the best person. Allah, my son wasn't the greatest person. Ya Allah, but you know, you are Ghafur Rahim, you're Rahman Rahim. Allah, you can do. Right? You can do. You can forgive them. You can put them wherever, right? And so Nuh alayhi salam is asking in that way. He's saying, Ya Allah, he's part of my family. There's nothing stopping you that if you want, you can also put him in Jannah as well. You can save him in the hereafter. Okay? So Nuh alayhi salam is asking this way, and he gave the evidence that number one is that Allah Ta'ala, you're the most wise. Your wisdom is most profound. And number two is the fact that he is part of my family, Ya Allah. He's my son, my biological son. Nothing wrong with it. I want to make that clear because I think sometimes we hear these things and we think the Prophet is doing something wrong here. But in terms of the Prophet's understanding, alayhi salam, like Prophet Nuh, Prophet Yunus, and I always, my objective whenever I speak to you all, is I want to make it clear that the Prophets, alayhi salam, they were doing everything that was correct according to their understanding. There was nothing wrong with it. You can't fault him on that. Same thing with Musa alayhi salam or Adam alayhi salam. There was always something that you could say that, yeah, it made sense in terms of what they were doing. None of it was completely, absolutely wrong. No, la ilaha illallah. Prophets would never do anything haram because you and I know what's the answer here. When Nuh alayhi salam asked this question about his biological son, قَالَ يَا نُوحُ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٌ فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ إِنِّي أَعِذُكَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ Nuh alayhi salam, it was told to him by Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala said, Nuh, in fact, he is not part of your family. Right. So the words here again, like, you have to feel it within the way Allah is addressing his prophet. Okay, it's not harsh; it's just declaring a fact. And so Nuh alayhi salam, we're learning something that when we have to correct people, it's important to not be harsh or rude. It's important just to be straightforward. Look, the truth is bitter, no matter where you present it. Anywhere you go in the world, if you're going to speak the truth, people are always going to think you're a very bitter person, a very sour person. The truth is bitter all the time, okay? Doesn't mean you have to be rude about it, but you have to be straightforward. So Nuh alayhi salam is told by Allah Ta'ala, yes, Nuh, I did promise you that you and your family will be saved, but this man is not part of your family. This boy is not part of your family. إِنُّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٌ He is a man of bad deeds. He did such crimes and such evils that he's not considered any more part of your family. He did kufr with Allah Ta'ala. He disbelieved in Allah. فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِعِلْمٍ Don't ask me about something you don't have knowledge of. Don't ask about things that it's not appropriate to ask about. إِنِّي أَعِذُكَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ I exhort you to not be amongst the ignorant. Okay? Not be among the ignorant. So what do we find here? What is Allah telling Nuh alayhi salam? And I want to make this clear, the distinction between us and prophets. The question itself was not appropriate for Nuh alayhi salam to ask. Why wasn't it appropriate to him? Because after the punishment of Allah comes down, how could any prophet thereafter ask for forgiveness for his community? Allah has made it clear as his sunnah in the world is that once the punishment of Allah comes down, there's no more asking for forgiveness for anyone, no more changing anymore. The punishment has settled who's going to be on the truth and who's going to be on falsehood. Nuh alayhi salam is the first Rasul, by the way. Keep that in mind. He's the first messenger. A lot of the things that he has no reference for, no other example behind him, prior to him. So when he does something, he's just basically testing the waters, seeing what's okay or not okay. This is actually for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Keep this in mind. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told by Allah that is something very important. The idea is that once the punishment of Allah comes down, there's no more asking anymore. You're going to find the story of Hud alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, Shu'aib alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, the next prophets that are mentioned in the story, that each one of them will never ask for forgiveness for their communities. Nuh alayhi salam was the only one who decided, he thought that it was okay, that after Allah Ta'ala's punishment comes down, perhaps we can still make, Allah can make another judgment call and forgive people. But this is not appropriate for a prophet to do. It's not appropriate for a prophet to do, okay? It might be appropriate, right, for us as followers of a prophet. Nuh alayhi salam was thinking biologically. He was not thinking spiritually. Saying, Allah, you did say Ahl, and he is my biological son, but he's no longer a spiritual son. And this is the hard reality, the truth that we all have to come to terms with. That sometimes we're with our family members, but because they don't believe in Allah Ta'ala, or they're so distant from Allah Ta'ala, we might not raise on the Day of Judgment with them. And this is a sad fact about us when we raise our kids in America, and we're raising our kids here. We love them so much. We care about them so much. They bring tears to our eyes every single day, and we worry about them every single moment. You know, but the thing is that he is a bad action, okay? And I love this, the way the Quran said it in such a beautiful way. إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. He is an action which is not good at all, right? This is the way Allah says it. He himself is a bad action. Because you are what you do. We don't think about our children like this. Allah wants us to think our children about our children like this. How does Allah want us to think about them? As part of our good deeds. As part of our good deeds. The same way before salah, what do? We make sure our wudu is proper. We make sure that there's no najasa on the body. We make sure that, the salah time is right, the qibla direction, everything, right? You're so careful to make sure that everything before your prayer is done well and making sure you're eating halal, you're earning properly. So that way the dua will be accepted, right? We're doing everything right. So that way the ibadah will be accepted, right? The action will be accepted. Allah Ta'ala is telling us the same way when we bring up our children, we have to think about the same things. What are the avenues or the channels in which are influencing my child? And that what are the things that are affecting his mentality and his idea and his mind? And why am I not concerned about these things? I'm okay with him watching whatever, looking at whatever, listening to whatever, seeing whatever. I give him his own iPad or his own laptop. I let him do whatever. I don't put them in the common room or the living room so that everyone can see. You know, these types of things, they affect children. And certain things they'll see, they'll never be able to forget about what they see. Certain friends they hang out with, they'll never be able to forget about those friends. There's a lot of damage that happens to kids. And so the same way we are careful about prepping for our prayers, Allah says, because the prayer is an action. He said one of the greatest actions is the fact that you have children, prep your children. Make sure that everything's proper when you're raising them and the tarbiyah is done. Spend time with them. Sometimes we focus on our prayers so much. We do our ibadah. We'll spend 10, 20 minutes sometimes. Some of us are very good at tahajjud and ibadat, mashallah. When it comes to spending time with children, there's no connection with children at all, you know? And then we complain as if, why did they go misguided? I mean, they were an action we're supposed to care about. So Allah Ta'ala says, prior to the prayer, you prep for it. Same thing with your children while they're being raised. Make sure you prep for them now while they're still in your care. The second thing is what? When we stand in prayer, we only think about Allah. That action of prayer that we do, we only think of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. How much are we thinking about Allah when we raise our kids? You know, if we ask parents, I said, how much are you thinking about? I know it's a hard thing, and I don't want anyone to think I'm offending them or thinking about them. I don't even know who's on the Zoom chat. I just give the bayan, really. Okay? I'm just thinking for myself that when I'm raising my child, am I really thinking about, will Allah to accept this child or not? Will he be acceptable from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is it like every other parent in the world that says, oh, he has to make sure he gets to school, got to make sure he has the right clothes on, make sure he's eating right and all these things. And I'm not saying these aren't important. They're definitely important. Who's not going to say they're important? I think about the same way you guys all think about it. Everyone thinks about their children the same way. I'm just saying is that as a bonus, do we ever think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is he following the deen? Is he praying his salah? How much are we worried that, okay, he has to be successful in university and get to the best college, but is he in the highest places of Jannah? Will he reach Jannah al-Firdaws? You know, will he become a child that's with me in Jannah as well? You know, these types of questions have to be brought in our minds. The same way in prayer, we don't let anything else come in our minds. We try our best to focus on this. The same way when we focus on our kids, don't look at the left and right. Don't look at the cousin. Everyone always wants to compare it to the cousin. Oh, he became a doctor. Oh, became this. Oh, he's an engineer. Oh, he's this and that. Okay, that's great. But like, what about the fact that your kid is a hafiz of the Quran? Or the fact that he's an alim of deen? Or that he's praying his salah? You will brag about your child on the Day of Judgment in a way that no parent could ever brag about. Because in front of all of creation, when Allah gives him the crown, gives you the crown and the garments from Jannah, because you made your kid a hafiz of the Quran and you raised your kid the right way, every single parent that raised their kid in every other way and the children were not successful, they'll say, Allah, I wish I was like this parent. I wish I was like this father or this mother that tried their best to raise their kids on deeny understanding. So this is the thing, enduring prayer, our actions have to be connected to Allah. And after the prayer, and in the same way, at the end of the worship, this fear comes in the heart. Ya Allah, did you accept it? Ya Allah, did you accept it? And so now here's the thing about our children, is that once we raise our children, Ya Allah, are they acceptable to you? Allah, I was raising a child to become a worshiper of you. That's why mothers in Islam have such a great position. Whereas fathers work with dead material. They work with computers. They work with money. They work with this and that. These are all dead things. A mother has the most beautiful, magnificent position in Islam. She raises living beings, human beings that will become worshippers of Allah. Her work is completely connected to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She raises her kids and they become deeni. That's why the people of the past were like this. They said, Ya Allah, after having, you know, they after meeting with their spouses, they say, Allah, you know, Allah, make sure the child is coming is going to be someone who worships you. If it's not, Ya Allah, we don't need the child, you know, because what's the point? Because on the day of judgment, it'd be such a shame. One of the things about Ibrahim alayhi salam, by the way, is that on the day of judgment, Allah Ta'ala will turn his father into an ant. Hadith of Bukhari. The father will be turned into an ant because Allah Ta'ala does not want Ibrahim alayhi salam to be disgraced on that day. That someone would know that Ibrahim alayhi salam's father wasn't a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the same thing will happen to us on the day of judgment. And we ask Allah for protection and so much connection with our children. That way we can make sure that they're safe. Sometimes we're very harsh with our children, and unfortunately, because of the harshness, they're not able to practice Islam by, you know, organically. There has to be organic love for Islam. And sometimes all that requires is that we just take them to the right maktab or to the right masjid or connect them to the right person, you know? And their kid will just fall in love with that person. And then no matter where they go, you know, this is the thing, and I've seen this in my own life, in my own experience, with people who are like 30, 35 years old, they'll say that, subhanAllah, you know, they might not even be connected to the masjid like the way they're supposed to be. But they will always say that, subhanAllah, we have such a great time in that maktab, in that masjid, and they'll still be Muslims. No matter what happens, they'll still be Muslims. And I feel like that's an important thing to keep in mind. That if we made our environments good for our children to such a degree that they loved Islam, and no matter where they go, no matter what anyone says, they'll love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they'll love the Sahaba, they'll love Allah, no matter where they go in life, they'll still be Muslim, you know? So at the end, when we raise our children and every single night, and I want parents to do this, 2 rakats every night, inshallah. Ya Allah, please accept my child. I tried my best today. And I raised my voice one time. I don't know, Ya Allah, did that offend, did that bother my child now that he won't get connected to Allah? You know, and grandparents, think about these things. Please, you know, inshallah, think about your grandchildren. Think about, what am I doing when I get upset? You know, my child will see this. And, you know, and then he might get bothered by this. You know, then he might be away from the deen. You know, they connect us to Islam. Ya Allah, please accept my child. You know, make such dua for them. You'll see what Allah will do. So this ayah provides both a strong reminder for parents to care for the deen of their next generation. This is the first thing. What we just spoke about right now was the idea of caring for the deen of the next generation. But at the same time, it comforts parents, okay? Because you cannot say that you are a better parent than Nuh alayhi salam. I don't think anyone should ever say that. Nuh alayhi salam was an exceptional Nabi, exceptional Rasul, exceptional human being, exceptional father. Every way you're looking at him, he was extraordinary. He was an exceptional parent, alayhi salam. But the thing that Allah is telling every single parent till Qiyamah is that, look, you only can do so much. The parents know how much they struggle. I'm saying about the parents that legitimately they know, and I'm not one of them, of course, but those parents who are saying, yes, I did do a lot, but just nothing clicked. You know, I tried my best. I wasn't in the right environment. Well, Allah, you're saying this, but there was no masjid in my area. There was no madrasa, and I know. And I don't. And I make dua for you, and I cry for you. You think I don't worry? And I just tell those parents that, mashallah, you know, Allah that reward you, that you tried so hard, and Allah that protect you. No matter what you did, mashallah, you know, Allah give you the best. Now, subhanAllah, the next generation is coming. For these institutes and these areas that need these children now, that will raise these children in the right environments, now you provide for these things. Say, Allah, I messed up, or I couldn't do the best. Now, for the next generation, inshallah, I'm going to provide for all of them. I'll make sure the institute, the madrasa, the school that will be training these children, inshallah, will be the best school for them, inshallah ta'ala. And so that way, even though you might have felt like I didn't do the best here, and maybe it wasn't the best, now subhanAllah, the entire generation of children will raise with you on the day of judgment because you were the connecting factor. You were the reason why they were connected to deen. May Allah give us that, inshallah. It connects us. You know? So what happens is Nuh alayhi salam receives this from Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala tells Nuh, he wasn't a good action. Don't ask about this. This is appropriate for a prophet to ask of. After the punishment comes down, you, Hud, Saleh, Ibrahim, Lut, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon all of them, no one is allowed to ask after the punishment has come down. Qala Rabbi, so Nuh alayhi wa sallam, look at him. Allah tells him something very stern, very, very truthful. But the thing is what? He doesn't get bothered. Like, what does he say? قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ أَنْ أَسْأَلَكَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِهِ عِلْمٌ. He goes, say, Allah, I seek refuge in you, that I ask you about things I don't have any knowledge of. Okay? And unless you forgive me and have mercy on me, I'll be one of the losers. Ya Rab, you know, look at the dua he's making. What did he do? What did he do? Imagine you come up to Maulana and you're like, you asked a question which was completely inappropriate, you know, or like not right. So then Maulana tells you this question wasn't right. You asked about this question. This is the right answer. This is the right thing, right? You're like, oh, okay, no problem. You know, it was just a Q&A, not a big deal, right? You just put it in there. It's like, oh, you know, is shrimp halal to eat? You know, things like that. No problem. You know, you ask, no problem. Look at what Nuh alayhi salam does when he asks the wrong question. Allah, if you don't forgive me, have mercy on me, I'm going to be from the losers. Just from one question he asked, you know, and he felt like he didn't ask right. He's like, Allah, if you don't do this, I might go to the, you know, like I might be in the wrong direction on the day of judgment. Look how scared he is and worried he is. And so I want to make this clear that this is the one regret of Nuh alayhi salam on Qiyamah. You know the scene. It's hadith, very famous hadith of Bukhari, that everyone will go to every prophet and each prophet will be asked, ask Allah to start the day of judgment. You know, start the intercession, ask Allah on our behalf, all these things, right? They go to Adam alayhi salam, Adam says, I eat from the tree, I can't do it. You know, Musa alayhi salam, they go to, you know, and then Musa alayhi salam says, I punched a guy, I killed him, it wasn't right for me. You know, and Ibrahim alayhi salam, they go to Isa alayhi salam, everyone, right? They go to, right? And each one of them, if you look at what the prophets are complaining about, you're like, none of these things are really big deals. Like, it wasn't even their fault, it was a mistake, or they didn't even know, or they forgot. Like, there's a lot of things. What is Nuh alayhi salam worried about in the Day of Judgment? You say, you know, he's like, what are you telling me to ask Allah to start the Day of Judgment? I asked Allah a question I wasn't supposed to ask him. You know, like, they're so worried about one small question that you and I probably asked a million things inappropriately in our du'as. Allah, I wanted the Lambo, ya Allah. I wanted the Tesla. I need the Tesla, ya Allah. You know, we make such du'as to Allah as if they're like, you know, I'm not saying don't ask. Go ahead, ask. I'm just saying, like, sometimes we don't think about the things we ask. Nuh alayhi salam so worried about one question that he asked Allah on the Day of Judgment. He says, I can't ask Allah on this day. I'm so worried about this. This is the high standard, the high level that prophets are on that is completely different from us. Okay? They're not even allowed to ask the wrong things. They have to ask every single thing in the right way every single time. They live on a very high standard. That's why we tell people that don't think that the Prophet ﷺ would do something in his life except that Allah Ta'ala commanded him to do it. Or that except something that Allah Ta'ala gave him a hukum on, a ruling on. Don't think that Prophet's on the same level as us. They always have to be on mustahab. They always have to be on the highest levels. They're not even allowed to ask the wrong thing. You understand what I'm saying? So Nuh alayhi salam and every single Prophet is given this reminder about this. And this is the most deep reminder to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Prophet of Islam, you try your utmost best, but you leave the rest. You try your utmost best with the Quraysh. You're going to do what you need to do. You're going to try as much as you can. But at the end of the day, it has to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will decide who will believe. Allah Ta'ala will decide who disbelieves. It might be from your own family, O Prophet of Islam. But do not ask afterwards, after the ruling has come, after the hukum has come. Okay? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's very unique in these things. The punishment of Allah Ta'ala comes down on Makkah, by the way. The punishment is what? In the time of Nuh, it was a flood. In the time of Hud, it was the wind. In the time of Salih, it was an angel coming down and screaming, you know, and shattering the hearts of everyone. In the time of Lut alayhi salam, it was the flipping of the community, right? In the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was the punishment of Makkah or the people of Quraysh? It was the fact that the Sahaba would come in and storm in and basically wipe out the community, right? That was the punishment. But the mercy of Allah Ta'ala in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was manifested like this, that when the Prophet comes into conquest, you know, to conquer Mecca, and the punishment of Allah should come, basically what happens is, and you and I know the story very famously, at that moment when the punishment is there, Allah Ta'ala says, all right, I'm postponing it. They all have 4 months to figure it out. You know, the Prophet brings them all into the area of the Haram, right? And then he says, you know, he says that, what do you think I'm going to do with you? They said, you're the noble person, son of the noble person. At that moment, it should have been finished. All of them should have been finished there. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to everyone, I'll be what Prophet Yusuf alayhi wa sallam did to his brothers. He says, don't worry about today. You're all forgiven. Get out of here. You know, this is the mercy that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was received by, you know, Allah that gave him this mercy to show him that you're different. You're special, more unique than any other prophet. So finally, the last ayah that we want to focus on, last two ayat very quickly. Qira ya Nuh bit bi salami minna wa barakatin alayk. Oh Nuh, it was said to Nuh alayhi wa sallam, descend. Okay. This word descend is very special. We're going to come back to it in 1 second. Oh Nuh, descend with peace from us and with tremendous blessings, barakat. It's not just one barakah, but multiple, unlimited, so many blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa barakatin alayka, upon you, wa ala umamin, and on nations that will spring forth from you. The blessings of all the communities that will come. Because again, the understanding of Muslims is that Nuh alayhi salam is the, and his community are the last people on the earth. Okay? Are the last people on the earth. So all generations, everyone that's going to come is going to come from Nuh alayhi salam. Okay? So now all the blessings of all human beings on the earth are going back to which human being? Are going back to Nuh alayhi salam. This is why our scholars have said, okay, this is why our scholars have said that Nuh alayhi salam is known as the Adam al-Sani, the second Adam alayhi salam. Because when he was Nuh alayhi salam, in the same way Adam alayhi salam was told to descend. You remember, if you look at the Quran, Qala ihbitu, Allah tells Adam alayhi salam, descend. Qila la ya Nuh ihbit, Nuh you descend. Okay, both of them are descending. Allah, it's not a coincidence. Adam is descended from Jannah, Nuh is descended from the ark. They're both Mubarak places. Okay? The only difference is what? Bisalamin minna. Allah says for Nuh, you come down with peace. Adam came down, he had to make tawbah. Nuh Allah says, everything you're doing is Mubarak. You're coming down with peace and happiness and joy. His special virtue is what? He's literally done everything right. There's nothing wrong he's done. He's done everything in the perfection of what a prophet has to do, what a messenger needs to do. That's why he's made as an example for every other messenger to come till the day of judgment. That no one, you know, will come except they have the example of Nuh alayhi salam before them. So Allah Ta'ala says that there will be nations that will come from you that will believe, right? There will, those will spring forth from those with you, or umamun, and nations which will enjoy great, will have great enjoyment, but they will have a painful punishment from us which will touch them. There will be two groups of people at the end. There will be the believers and the disbelievers. That's not going to change. And it's told to every single prophet to come. And then the final ayah that we want to focus on, inshallah Ta'ala, is an announcement to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by the way. A beautiful announcement to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is the hijrah of Nuh Alaihi Wasallam, by the way. The hijrah of Nuh Alaihi Wasallam, every single messenger, he has done a hijrah in certain ways. So a hijrah is the migration from one land to another. They go from the land of disbelief to the land of belief. Okay? So, you know, the most example, the biggest example for us is Musa Alaihi Wasallam. He migrates from Egypt and he goes to the area of Jerusalem, right? They migrate, they make hijrah from one place to another. Same thing with Ibrahim Alaihi Wasallam, he was told to migrate. Lut alayhi salam told to migrate. Hud alayhi salam told to migrate. You can find this commonality through all the messengers in the Quran, is that they're always told to migrate from one place to another. Isa alayhi salam also, by the way, was told to migrate, except his one wasn't horizontal, it was vertical. He actually didn't go on the earth, he went up into the heavens to leave the sinful people. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam is being told, Nuh alayhi salam also had to do hijrah. Oh, Prophet of Islam, you're also going to do hijrah too. Surah Hud is a Makki surah. The Prophet is being told that there will be a place where you'll leave. You're going to have to leave Makkah eventually. Same way Nuh alayhi salam left, you're also going to leave. The place that Nuh alayhi salam went to was a place of peace. You're going to go to Darussalam. You're going to go to Medina, inshallah, one day. Okay? It's a reminder, it's an indication of the Prophet alayhi salam. The final part of Nuh alayhi salam's story in Surah Hud, تِلْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهَا إِلَيْكَ مَا كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُهَا أَنْتَ وَلَا قَوْمَكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا فَاصْبِرْ إِنَّ الْعَاقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. These are from the reports of the unseen, which we revealed to you. You did not know this before this, neither you nor your people. Okay? The Prophet ﷺ is being told, Quraysh is being told, did any of you all know the story of Nuh ﷺ to this detail? Did the Prophet ever sit with any Jew? Did the Jews even like the Arabs, that they would teach them such intricate details about their own books? Do you not understand that there's no way for this messenger, Muhammad ﷺ, to have known any of these things? He doesn't even know how to read and write. He's never been in any school or any university, any place. How did he learn these things? Okay, this is what Allah is telling us. Fasbir. So just be patient. The Prophet is being told, be patient, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inna al-aqibata lil-muttaqin. The end is in favor of the God-fearing. Those who have taqwa of Allah, the end is for them. Don't worry for anything that's happening in life. It's not just to the Prophet alayhi wasallam, it's for everyone. Just be patient. Life is a marathon of 80, 90, maybe 100 years. You know, for a lot of us, might be even longer. It's a marathon. The end is for you. You will win the race at the end. Allah Ta'ala will make us people successful the same way Nuh alayhi salam was successful. We just have to get through the difficult times with patience, with Allah, and with love, that we know whatever Allah is doing is within the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. The next part, inshallah, is another prophet. It's the prophet that the surah is named after. I'm very excited, inshallah ta'ala. He's a prophet that I very much love a lot, mashallah. So I hope I can share that with you all. And may Allah Ta'ala allow us to take these gems back home and share with others, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah give us so much tawfiq. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى صحبه اجمعين جزاكم الله خيرا السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته